שלום, אנחנו קוראים בספר פסח.
Hello, we're reading from the writings of Rabash, volume 1, page 474, Come Unto Pharaoh 2. You can ask questions on Kav TV, and selected questions will be asked during the lesson. Page 474, the writings of Rabash, volume 1. Starting with the words, now we can understand what is written.
שוב, טור א', שורה ובזה נבין מה שכתוב. כתוב, בוא אל פרעו.
It is written, Come unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs in the midst of them. A question arises, why did the Creator harden Pharaoh's heart? The text answers, that I might show these my signs in the midst of them. And their interpretation is, why has the Creator hardened man's heart and he cannot win the war against the inclination by himself? The answer is, so man will cry out to the Creator, and by that will have the kli. And then the Creator will be able to place the letters of Torah within him, inside the kli. This is the soul that the Creator gives him as help. This is considered the Torah and the Creator are one. My signs refers to the letters of the Torah, as in the names of the Creator. This is the doing good to His creations, which is the thought of creation, to do good to His creations. This comes to a person specifically when he has a kli, and this kli comes through the heartening of the heart. For then, there is a place where he can cry out to the Creator for help, and he helps him with the Holy Soul. Now we can understand the matter of come unto Pharaoh, meaning both of us together. In other words, a person should begin and then see that he cannot defeat it. And this is implied in most beginning and most being afraid to approach him. And then the Creator said, Behold, I am against you, Pharaoh. Meaning that then comes the help from the Creator. And with what? With the Holy Soul as written in the Zohar. It follows that the hardening of the heart in the words, For I have hardened his heart, was to make a place for a prayer. And this prayer is not like one of flesh and blood who wants respect to be asked, so he will be respected. Rather, the purpose of the prayer is for him to have a kli, a need for the help of the Creator. For there is no light without a kli. And when a person sees that he cannot help himself in any way, then he has a need for the Creator's help. This is the meaning of what our sages said. The Creator craves the prayer of the righteous. Here too, there arises the question, but does the Creator need man's surrender that he will ask of him? However, since his wish is to benefit his creations, but there is no light without a kli, he craves the prayer of the righteous. For by that, they disclose the kelim into which he can impart. It follows that when a person sees that he cannot overcome the evil in him, this is really the time for asking for the help of the Creator. Now we can understand what the Creator said. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. In Masechet Brachot, our sages wrote about it as follows. Who brought you from under the burdens of the Egyptians, the sages. Thus said the Creator unto Israel, When I bring you out, I will do for you something to show you that it is I who brought you out from Egypt, as it is written that I am the Lord your God who brought you out. This means that it is not enough that the Creator brings the people of Israel out of Egypt, that they were liberated from the torment that they suffered there. When speaking of the word of the Creator, there arises the question, was this not enough? Now they have been liberated from the enslavement of the exile after not being able to serve the Creator due to Pharaoh's rule. And all that they built for themselves, whatever position in the work, was all swallowed in the earth, as our sages said. Pitom and Ramses. Rav and Shmuel once said her name was Pitom, and why was her name Ramses? For his head, mitroses, splinters, first. Rashi interprets, when they built some, it would splinter and fall. They would rebuild, and it would fall. And one said, her name is Ramses, and why was her name Pitom? It is because first is first. It was swallowed by the Pitehom, mouth of the abyss. We therefore see that there is no dispute between Rav and Shmuel regarding the facts, only regarding the interpretation. The fact was that everything that they built would fall. This means that every time they built for themselves some structure in the work, the Egyptians came, meaning the alien thoughts of the Egyptians, and ruined all their work. In other words, all the work that they did with all their efforts to overcome and to serve in the work of holiness was swallowed in the ground. Thus, each day they had to start over, and it seemed to them as though they were never engaged in the work of holiness. Moreover, each time they contemplated moving forward, they saw that not only did they not progress, they even regressed, since knew who and what question would always surface in their minds. Accordingly, we should understand this exodus from Egypt as their finally having the ability to serve the Creator without the alien thoughts of the Egyptians. Thus, what does this knowing in the words, and you shall know, comes to tell us? That we must know that it is the Creator who delivered them from the land of Egypt. And there is more we should wonder about. Since we began the examination at the enslavement in Egypt, when they were being worked in hard labor, and they were liberated from that, so what else did they miss? But what is hard labor? Our sages explain the verse, all their labors which they're rigorously imposed on them. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani said, Rabbi Yonatan said, they replaced men's work with men's work and women's work with men's work, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve Beparech, with rigor. Rabbi Elazar says, Beparech, with a soft mouth. We should also understand the matter of hard labor in the work of holiness. We should make two discernments. One, the act called the revealed part, which a person can see, and where one cannot say that he is erring or deceiving himself. Since it cannot be said that there is a mistake about something that is visibly apparent. This is so because with the act of mitzvot and the study of Torah, he sees, and others can also see if he is carrying out actions of Torah and mitzvot or not. Two, the intention. This is called the hidden part, since others cannot see the intention behind one's acts, and he too cannot see the intentions in the act, since it is possible to be mistaken about the intention and to mislead oneself. For only in apparent things called the revealed part, Everyone can see the truth. But what one cannot trust himself when it comes to intentions is the heart, or thoughts in the mind. It follows that this is hidden from himself and from others. Now we can interpret the meaning of hard labor, which was said to be replacing men's work with women's work. Men's work means that he is already a giver, man, that he can leitgabel, overcome his evil, and engage in Torah and mitzvot in action. Thus, what should he do when he is already called a man, meaning a man of war, who can fight with his evil in action? Now it is time for him to begin his work in the second discernment, meaning in the concealed, which is the aim. In other words, henceforth, he should try to aim all his actions to be in order to bestow contentment upon the Creator and not for his own benefit. And what did the Egyptians do when they saw that he was a man who could exit their rule and enter holiness? They swapped their work and gave them women's work. This means that all their work was in women's work. That is, the Egyptians made them think, who needs intentions? The actions are what count. And here, in actions, you will succeed. As you can see, you are a man. You can prevail over the evil in you and engage in Torah and mitzvot in every detail and precision, and you must put all your efforts into being more meticulous in Torah and mitzvot. However, you should not engage in intentions. This work is not for you, but only for a chosen few. If you begin with the work of bestowing, meaning noticing that you must aim everything to be in order to bestow, you will not have the energy to be so meticulous in the revealed action, where you will not deceive yourself, because you see what you're doing. Therefore, there is where you can expand in every detail and precision in your actions. But with regard to intentions, you have no real test. Thus, we must advise you for your own good, and do not think, God forbid, that we want to divert you from the work of holiness. On the contrary, we want you to rise in the degrees of holiness. This is called replacing man's work with women's work, where they should have done work that belongs to men. They explained to the people of Israel that it would be best for them to do women's work, meaning what belongs to women. And women's work with men's work means that those people did not have the power to overcome. Rather, they are as feeble as a female, meaning that they were weak in keeping Torah and mitzvot and didn't have the strength to keep and observe the mitzvot even in the revealed form, which is called only an action. And all the work of overcoming was only on the action, not on the intention.
So again, what is the work of the women? What is the work of the men? And what's the difference between them? Please. Wake up.
The difference is that this is what we want to do. We want to be able to overcome all the evil that we feel in the will to receive. And this is by being persistent about our intentions in the studying, drawing the reforming light in the work.
It's the difference between intention and actions, of trying to accumulate unnatural force in order to do something, compared to something with natural forces.
The work of the women is the will to receive, and the men are working to overcome, to turn to the Creator with our help.
I don't know, it's not too clear to me from what we just read. I was able to understand that the work of the woman is maybe to work from the natural deficiency, and the man is to search for deficiency which is above natural, something that is truly in that same overcoming and intentions as it's written here.
Maybe women, these are actions that we do, and men, they work in overcoming and with intentions.
Yeah, the idea here is by overcoming. The transition can only take place with the help of the Creator. We just get the remedy and get forces from society, and we advance with society, and we try to overcome all the time.
It doesn't really have to do with the intention or the action, but in every state a person chooses to go above reason. These are men.
Yeah, everything was said. Just to repeat that the work of the women is the work when a person has forces on his own, that he's able to do deeds on his own, and men, the gever, is when he needs to overcome, when he doesn't have forces, and the overcoming just comes from the mutual prayer, the mutual request for connection.
Yeah, men above nature and women within nature.
And the work of the man is when you ask the Creator for forces to overcome. The prayer is always towards connection. It's always the correct direction.
Continuing with the words, the Egyptians. The Egyptians came to them and made them think, "We don't want to interrupt your holy work. On the contrary, we want you to be true servants of the Creator. In other words, we see that you wish to serve in the work of holiness. So, we're advising you that the most important thing is not the action, it is the intention. Therefore, instead of exerting to overcome an action, accustoming yourselves to overcome your body, to study for another hour, or to pray for another half, trying to answer, 'Blessed be He,' and 'Blessed be His name,' and 'Amen,' not to mention in the middle of the repetition of the cantor, who needs it. The main aim is for the Creator, that is, where you need to focus all your efforts. Why waste your strength on trifling things? Indeed, the halacha says that you must keep all those little things, but this work is not for you. It's work for women. You need to engage in men's work. The fact that you want to engage only in action is unbecoming to you. You should focus primarily on the intent, meaning use every bit of energy you have to aim that everything will be for the Creator, However, don't think for a minute that we're trying, God forbid, to interrupt your work of the Creator. We want the contrary, for you to rise up the ladder of holiness and achieve perfection, meaning that all your actions will be only in order to bestow contentment upon your Maker. And since they were at the degree called women and still did not have the strength to overcome, not even in the part of the action, consider that they are as feeble as females. The Egyptians made them see that the important thing was the aim, lishma. By that, the Egyptians made certain that they would not have the strength to overcome, to continue and overcome in the work of holiness. It is as Maimonides say when he wrote, the sages said one should always engage in Torah, even in lolishma. Since from lolishma he will come to lishma. Therefore, when teaching the little ones, the women, and the illiterate in general, they must be taught to work out of fear and to receive reward. When they gain knowledge and acquire much wisdom, they are to be shown that secret bit by bit. And must be accustomed to it with ease until they attain it and know him and serve him out of love. The Egyptians advised those who were under the discernment of women not to follow the words of Maimonides. On the contrary, even though they were at the degree of women and little ones, they made them understand that they should immediately begin the work on aiming lishma, but that the Egyptians made certain that they would remain in their domain outside of Kedusha. Thus, this is called hard labor, as Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani interpreted, bafarech, with toil, means befricha, fragile, crumbling meaning. And Rashi interpreted, in crumbling and breaking of the body and the waist. The reason is that when replacing men's work with women's work and women's work with men's work, it will be as we explained, since men's work was to overcome and advance and aim for the intention lishma. But they weakened them in this work because the Egyptians resisted this work. Hence, besides having to toil in overcoming, so they could aim in order to bestow, they had more work. They had more work in that the Egyptians made them think that all of this work was redundant, that the work of bestowal did not relate to them, but only to a chosen few. This is called twofold work. One, strain to aim in order to bestow. And two, fighting them and saying that it is not true, that they will be able to achieve lishma, and not as the Egyptians said, that they should do women's work. And this was the Egyptians' whole intention, to prevent them from approaching the work of bestowal. Also, they replaced the work of men with that of women, which, as we said, is worthless, because it is keeping Torah and mitzvot only in action. This means that their entire war against the inclination is only over the action, and not as Maimonides says that women's work should be only about doing things and not teaching them that they must intend lishma. Therefore, when the Egyptians came and told them that they had to do men's work, meaning aim to bestow, it was hard work for them. One, concerning lishma, you're totally incapable of it. Two, overcoming the body and keeping practical mitzvot was harder for them before the Egyptians' alien thoughts came and made them think that the act of mitzvot without intentions was completely worthless and degraded the importance of Torah and mitzvot in lo lishma. Thus, now, through the Egyptians, the work in the form of women was degraded, and this caused them hard labor. As it was said, that it is the breaking of the body and the waist. It follows from all the above that there are three meanings to the word pe'rach, toil, hard labor. Yet there is no contradiction between one interpretation and the other. Rather, all three things were there, and each interpreted according to his own issue. Three, in the first interpretation of Perach, Rabbi Elazar said it is in Perach, soft mouth.
Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Rabbi Yonatan.
For Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani said in Perach, which means breaking. Five, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Rabbi Yonatan said they replaced man's work with women's work and women's work with men's work. However, they all interpret hard labor as pricha, meaning the breaking of the body, and the reason why it was hard work, to the point that they called this work labor that breaks the body and the waist, is that they replaced men's work with women's work and women's work with men's work. This caused them the hard labor. And yet, why did they listen to the views of the Egyptians? It is because they spoke to Israel with perach, a soft mouth, meaning that the thoughts of the Egyptians came to Israel with a soft mouth. That is, everything they told them to do was not to turn them away from serving the Creator, God forbid. On the contrary, they wished to guide them to walk in the ways of the Creator successfully, so they would not waste time in vain, meaning that they would see no progress in the work of holiness, and since they were spoken to with a soft mouth, it was hard for them to overcome these thoughts. This implies that when he says that they replaced men's work with that of a woman, he explained why they listened to the Egyptians. The answer is because of the pe'rach, that they spoke to Israel with pe'rach, a soft mouth. Thus, it is for the two above reasons that they came to work in hard labor. As Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani said, perach means work of pericha, breaking, which is work that breaks the body. Accordingly, we should understand why it is not enough for the people of Israel that the Creator brought them out of Egypt, out of their enslavement, so they could engage in Torah and mitzvot, each according to his attainment. And the klipa of Egypt didn't have the strength to resist their work. Indeed, how great is the miracle, and who can appreciate the importance of the matter? When a person considers the amount of suffering and torment that he feels while being in exile under the enslavement of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to the extent of the darkness of Pitom and Ram says that he assumes in his heart, which they were building, and now the gates of the Klipa of Egypt were opened before them all at once, and they came under their own authority. This means that now they were free to engage in Torah and mitzvot as they wished, without interruptions. What joy and elation brings to a person when he compares the time of darkness to the time when it illuminates. It is as it is said, he who separates between darkness and light. According to the above, we should understand the necessity to know that only the Creator delivers them from the burdens of the Egyptians, as our sages said, "When I bring you out, I will do for you something to show you that it is I who brought you from out from Egypt, as it is written, that I am the Lord your God who brought you from under the burdens of Egyptians.
The thing is that we must always remember the goal that we must reach, and since the purpose of creation is to do good to his creations, our goal is to receive the delight and pleasure that he has contemplated on our behalf. But for the purpose of the correction called dvekut, adhesion, which is about equivalence of form, we have to work to obtain the vessels of bestowal. Yet, this is only the correction of creation, and not wholeness. Wholeness means knowing and attaining the Torah, which is called the names of the Creator. Accordingly, it is not enough that we already have strength to keep the Torah and mitzvot without any interruptions, for this is only a correction, not the complete goal. The complete goal is to obtain the knowledge of the Torah, as is. The Torah, Israel, and the Creator are one. This is why our sages said, this is what the Creator said to Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out. I and not a messenger. This means that every single one should come to know the Creator, and this is called Torah, the names of the Creator.
Shilot?
Questions?
Sergei from Dnipro is asking, why did Israel replace the men's work with women's work?
Because they're called Israel. The work of the women is to follow the desire. Men is from the word overcoming, to go above reason. But both are speaking about the workers of the Creator in the state where they want to overcome. The entrance to Egypt is that we are going to connect. And then our work is in connection as much as possible. For now we have egoistic forces. We use them in order to connect. The light that reforms also comes from that, from studying, from connection, from concession. And we reach a new kind of work, the work of men, by overcoming. That's it. The main thing is the connection, to return to that connection as was in the Adam Rishon before the shattering. And now with our ego, it'll be 620 times more. And by that, not a small light will be revealed, just something, but the Neran Chai will be revealed, the whole Creator.
What does it mean, baparech, hard labor?
It's all about intentions, that we can't reach the correct intention. Every time there's intentions, there's deeds, and we discover it's in order to receive. That's the work. Why? Because the Creator wants to bring them to a scream, to the recognition of evil. So the goal is that they understand that they can succeed without his help. Vina.
What are the Torah and mitzvot? Simply an action, without intention.
Torah is all the books that in them, or that they were all written by sages, Jews, that explain the book of the Torah and what is written there. And the mitzvot are the actions that we need to do in action, in practice. What we shall do and what we shall not do in prayer and in our life. That's Torah and mitzvot. The practical Torah and mitzvot. The approach is to educate the nation to do that and not ask any question. But the questions are only about how to keep it. Because it's something we can see, we can feel it. We can teach them, we can educate to do that. And in such a framework, millions of people can exist. But the Torah and mitzvot, as we say, the Torah of truth, and the mitzvot that correct the soul, we don't know what that is, because we don't know what a soul is. Correction of the soul is a result from the sin of the tree of knowledge, which was one soul and was divided, and the egoistic will to receive, the egoistic intentions, and the relationships between them. Not that people are egoistic, but what happens between them, that connection is egoistic. And then the Torah and mitzvot is something else. It's that we need the light that reforms, called the Torah, the light. And by that, we'll perform corrections on all of our desires that are on each and every one. And we'll be able to attain the intention to bestow in order to connect, in order to give contentment to the Creator. So this work is concealed work. That's why it's called the concealed Torah, because we can't see the actions. The mitzvot are in man. That's why it's work, which is very difficult to implement by the masses. And for now, just the chosen few come and feel a need for this. That's why we can't obligate everybody to do it. And so those who come here and do show some interest in this, so many of them leave, don't see any purpose in this, because the work is always against the desire, against the thoughts, against the world. It's a problem. This is the difference between revealed and concealed. Revealed is a still vegetative and animate, and the life in the still vegetative and animate, the life on the degree of Adam, man. What's the difference between man and beast? That man, Adam, has a tendency to resemble divinity. That's what's called Adam, from the word dome, similar to the Creator. We don't have it in this world in a way we can feel it. That's why it's called a concealed work, the concealed Torah. And it's not in the man's forces to do it. And he needs to ask for a special force to do it. So it's not for everybody. Yeah.
Throughout most of the article, he says that the work is work in intention, and at a certain point in the article, He suddenly writes that, and the Egyptians came to them and allowed them to understand that we don't want to interrupt you in the holy work, but we really want you to be complete servants, true servants of the Creator, but we see that you want to do the holy work. So we advise you that the work is mainly not about the action, but about the intentions. And then they advise them to do things like pray and study and so on. What does it mean?
That the deeds and the study and everything we do, so that you can put an intention on it. Not to correct the relationships between people. The main difference between what the Kabbalah says about working the Creator and what everybody else says about working the Creator, the difference is that Kabbalah says that the work of the Creator is to connect people, to bring them to this pattern, this mold called Adam, one system, love thy friend as thyself, and then from the love of the beings, the love of God. And not that the others say that it isn't, but they say, it's true, but you do that later. For now, we have to do this, meaning only correcting our external deeds. And that's the difference. Rabash writes in every article, he writes a bit about that. And the more we advance, we'll see that he is he's strict about it. But he always says it gently. Yes.
The new thing about it is that, the way I see it, is that the Egyptians told the people of Israel that the work that they have to do is in intentions.
But the intentions on the deeds, and not the intentions on the connection between people. There's a lot of little intricacies about this. We need to understand that Pharaoh is between us. He is what we have to turn to the Creator. That's how the Creator is revealed. Because also, the Creator isn't revealed in anybody. Only in the connection. The Creator is the web of connections of love and bestowal, which is like water that enter between, let's say, between islands. How do you say that? Yeah, like water that fills the space between little islands. That's how the Torah has to fill the place between humans in love and bestowal.
Terans.
Rav. Au dernier paragraphe, le Rabash explique qu'il ne suffit pas que nous ayons la force de garder les Torah et les mitzvot sans interruption.
In the last paragraph, he says that it's not enough for us to keep the Torah and mitzvot without any interruptions. What does it mean?
Yeah, we learned that in about chewing the bitter herb. He swallowed and didn't chew it, or whatever it was. That means that we must be in the working of connection and persistency, and to see that we can't do it. When we enter Egypt, what does that mean? A group. What does it mean we enter Egypt? Oh, we agree that we need to connect. Before that, we didn't even agree. We didn't even talk about it. A stage before entering Egypt, the sons of Jacob, they disregard Joseph. We don't want you. Get out of here. They throw him out. Then what? Somehow, something happens. Okay, they're willing to connect. They enter Egypt. Egypt is great and beautiful. Everything is connection, and that's it. Afterwards, they start discovering that they can't. They can't connect, and the sons of Israel sigh from the work. It's not working. And then their sigh rose up to the Creator. They start turning to Him. That's called that He swallowed and didn't chew. That meaning that you have to chew this work. When you chew and feel the bitterness and that it's hard, the mol, the bitter of itself, we scrape it, but it's a root. It's a very hard. So only through hard work and by not succeeding, so you soften up and turn to the Creator because you have no choice. That's the light working, you working on it together. That's why only after hard work you start feeling slavery and that you must come out of it. And you have somebody to turn to. Yeah.
But if we all the time have the intention of being in Torah and Mitzvot.
I don't understand that. I heard your words. I don't know what you mean. All the time doing Torah and Mitzvot, all the time in Kavanah. So you came out of Egypt already.
Il dit que si on a l'intention, il dit que c'est pas suffisant que on fasse le travail du Créateur tout le temps.
He says
that it's not enough for us to do the work of the Creator all the time.
If we know how to do the work of the Creator, meaning the connection between us, we know how to truly connect. So that's it. We're in the temple. We built the holy temple. That's it. Understand, the whole work is how to connect parts of Adam Rishon that were shattered, how to connect them together. The light enters between them and the shattering exploded them. And now when they connect, they will connect 620 times more in intensity.
So what does it mean that we have to come to know the Creator?
Yeah. By that, we know Him. What's the difference between first and afterwards? First, Adam HaRishon had only nefesh. Nefesha, it's just a tiny illumination in Adam HaRishon. Let's say Kista Dechayut, call it whatever you want. But the illumination of light of Chasadim, there wasn't any Chochmah, as we learn in the shattering of the vessels. He wanted to eat from the tree of knowledge, meaning to receive all of Gar de Chochmah. He was shattered. Gar de Chochmah is what exists in the Rosh of the degree, meaning the Creator. And that light entered and shattered the vessels, separated between them. Now you need to correct the vessels, that this light enters and connects them, meaning the Creator connects all these parts together, and then there's an equalization between them and the Creator, and connection and love between all of the parts in the Creator. That is Gmar Tikkun.
Est-ce que tu peux expliquer avec des mots simples qu'est-ce que ça veut dire connaître le Créateur?
Can you explain in simple words what does it mean to come to know the Creator?
To know the Creator is to gradually know what connection and love means. That it's not in us in our state, because for us it's all opposite. That same Creator that will be in revelation, He is now being revealed gradually because He shattered our vessel. He shattered the vessel. That's why He's revealed opposite. And from the opposite way, when we want to overcome above it and discover an above reason love and bestow, so we turn to Him and not to Pharaoh. It's the posterior face of the same phenomena.
Qu'est-ce que ça veut dire? Qu'est-ce qu'il veut dire dans le texte que la Torah et le Créateur, la lumière, sont un?
What does it mean where he says that the Torah and the Creator are one? The Torah, the Mitzvot, and the Creator are one.
Yeah, because Israel, the Torah, and the Creator are one, meaning one doesn't mean that it is all one, but in spirituality, one is according to discernments and qualities. When we say that we reach identification with the Creator, adhesion with the Creator, when we become one, so what does it mean? How can a person be one? The intentions, the results, the created being can be equal. There's equal, which is two parallel lines, and there's three. What's the three? In identification, yeah. That's how it is in math. So it's three lines, that it's the same thing. We don't even understand why there are two, because it's the same identification. We're not the same identification, we're the will to receive. He is the will to bestow, but there's an equality between us called equivalence of form. Form, you understand? Form is something external, not... I can't change my inner personality.
In my ten, how do I all the time see Israel, the Creator, and the Light are one? What does it mean in the ten?
That in the ten you always need to depict that they are all in Gmar Tikkun, and you are pushing them into it, and you are guarding them in it, like a mother and a child. And you're just concerned about that they will all be connected. The work, relatively, after you see it and check it, it becomes very concrete, very... And the difficulty is just that you have to discover the need to turn to the Creator every time. There is Pharaoh. He doesn't want that. But we are starting to interpret the Torah correctly, and the path, it's one line in development. And we'll overcome this confusion and build a clear structure.
Vina. רב, אני לא כל כך הבנתי, יש לי גם שאלה עוד מגרמניה, אבל לא כל כך הבנתי מהמאמר, מה העבודה של נשים והעבודה של גברים?
רב, I didn't exactly understand what's the work of men and women in the group. Will we be able to reach a state where we will do only the group of men's work in the group?
Yes, we will do just the work of men, is what we need to do.
Huh? Od Vina, Ken.
Vina again, yeah.
What is the men's work in the group?
The men's work in the group is in Hitgabrut, overcoming. That's it.
Nuremberg.
Good morning. So, the entire article revolves around the Egyptians. The Egyptians somehow teach the people of Israel, created this confusion. Turns out that they know both how to serve the Creator and to serve Pharaoh. So, what is the role of the Egyptians?
The Egyptians are air qualities. Let's say what I discover inside, my qualities are not corrected, that I need to correct them, and to turn them into ones that want to connect, and then they will be called Jews, Yehudim, from the word Yichud, Chibul, connection, unity, or even Yeshar Kel, that they're already aimed from the love of friends to the love of the Creator. That's already a more advanced correction. It will come later on after the exodus from Egypt. So Pharaoh, Egyptians, it is awe in man. Also, the sheep and the big alligator and the ye'ol, it's all that geography that we're told about. It's all forces of the still vegetative and animate that are in man. That's why there's a question. How do we work with these forces? So we have the still vegetative and animate. We have to organize them in an organized manner. And the Adam in us, the speaking level, that's what we have to develop. Those are the intention. Well, we'll still interpret that.
No.
What do I do? Yes.
It
stems from the article that the women's work is the work of Lolishma. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And if so, then what I don't understand is, Rambam says on the one hand that from Lolishma you come to Lishma and you teach this secret gradually.
Correct.
On the other hand, the Creator simply exchanges the work for the women's work. Meaning, go and try to do the men's work, you'll see that you can't, and then you'll need my help.
Take it simply. We need to make efforts in intention. For us, intention also, it's not an intention, it's in the deed. In our deeds and in our intentions, we want the connection between us to be as better as we can. Close, mutual. Now the intention, where, for what, that's already a problem. We can't scrutinize what in order to bestow contentment is yet, and so on. But in that direction. I don't want to jump ahead and be there too much. Yaakov.
While we're chewing the bitter herb, can we do it joyously?
That depends on the support of the environment. If I am in very hard work, but I'm supported, and me myself, obviously I can't justify this and be happy about it, but if I'm together with society, so I get forces from it, it's a system. System of connections. If I can receive support from them, so obviously I can overcome every obstacle and be happy even though I'm chewing the mole. Yeah. But until I don't chew it good and strong, you can say, but if I get support from society, so I don't feel the mole, it's not so bitter. If it's not so bitter, I won't turn to the Creator, I won't scream to Him. No. You must receive as much as you can from society, because qualities, intentions, support, forces that you get from society will direct you to turn to the Creator. And alone, if you do it, it won't be a turn to the Creator. You'll be screaming up to Him, but it's not the same Creator. You won't get any answer. That's why turning to society must be. It's a known question, a known complaint. I'm turning to society. I'm mitigating my exertion. Nope, this is how it's supposed to be. Vina.
Jürgen from Germany, from Heidelberg, is asking, what exactly is the difference between Pharaoh and Egypt?
Egypt is the desire to receive, a regular desire to receive. Pharaoh is the intention to receive. That's how I would say it.
Ot.
That's it. So we can go to Tess.
Moving on to the next part of the lesson.